Pirkei de Eliezer, Perek Nun Aleph. We're holding in the middle of the Perek. We're up to the words of Eliezer Omer. If you have it in the middle of Perek Nun Aleph, it's a big schus that we have today. That's Asar B'Tevis, where we're mourning the beginning of the end of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and it happens to be that today we have a lot of things that have to do with the discussion of the Beis Hamikdash, things that talk about the Beis Hamikdash, as we'll see. As we remember, the beginning of the parak was talking about what's going to happen in the future when Mashiach comes. How's the world going to look? How's the world going to change? Different things that happen.
When did we do the first parak?
Oh, last week when you weren't here. You were in the hospital.
I was? Oh, that's right.
Let's see, where are we?
Mofet Shishi.
Oh, different parak?
No, Chamishim Bechad.
Well,
Nun Aleph, right?
Nun Aleph, yeah. So
no,
over
this
here.
Is
Eliezer Omer. Yeah, this is Nun Aleph. Eliezer Omer. So the beginning of this, the parak is talking about things that are going to change and how things are going to be in the future when Mashiach comes. Last loving. So Medrash says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Beis HaMikdash Asid Leha'olois Ulihizchadish. The Beis HaMikdash is destined to come up and to be renewed. In the beginning of the parak, we spoke about different things that are going to be renewed. Bnei Yisrael is going to be renewed. The Shamayim Ba'aretz are going to be renewed. The heavens and the earth, the heavenly legions, the sun and the moon are going to be renewed. So here again, the Medrash says, what else is going to be renewed in the future? The Beis HaMikdash. Also, Leha'olois Ulihizchadish. It's going to come up and it's going to be renewed. Maksiv Olav, what does it say about the Beis HaMikdash? Hine Oisa Chadosha Atos Titzva Chalete Du'uha. It says, behold, it's going to make something new. Now it's going to grow. Chalete Du'uha. Don't you know about it? And the Medrash says, Ushi'ahu B'shutovu Ba'aretz. Its gates, its doors, that were sunk into the ground, asidim le'olos il hischadish, they are destined to come up, to arise and be renewed. Kol echad ve'echad b'mekamei, each one in its place. Right, this is based on a pasuk in Eicha that we say in Tisha B'Av, tovu ba'aretz shareha, its gates have been tovu ba'aretz, they were drowned into the ground, they sunk into the ground. Tovu ba'aretz shareha. But we're saying in the future they're going to come back up. The shaila is, there's a few shailas over here, but Yomi Israel asks the shaila. He says, we said that the Beit HaMikdash is going to come up, right? Asid leheolos ulehischadish. The Beit HaMikdash is destined to come up and to be renewed. So what does it mean that the Beit HaMikdash is destined to come up? The pasuk that we're talking about, the pasuk in Eicha, says Tovu Ba'aretz She'areha. Its gates were sunk into the ground. Fine, so the gates were sunk into the ground, the gates are going to come back up. But here the Medrash seems to be saying that the entire Beis HaMikdash is going to come up from somewhere. So how do we understand that? So Rabbi Yomi Yisrael says that the pshat is, he wants to say a vart, that the Mukubalim teach us that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so all the stones from the Beis HaMikdash were scattered in all four corners of the world. It went all over the world. At every place where a stone from the Beis HaMikdash landed, there Hashem made it that it was destined that in that place there's going to be a shul, there's going to be a Beis Knesset. So the Yomi Yisrael says that there's a Gemara Megillah on Daf Chav Tes that says in the future Hashem is going to bring all the Bate Knesset and all the Bate Midrashos to Yerushalayim. All the shuls and all the places where people learn, Hashem is going to bring it all to Yerushalayim.
Wait a minute. He's going to bring them to Yerushalayim, but yeah. I thought he's going to also make the Roman houses into... Well, I don't get it. He's going to bring the people, or he's going to bring...
The physical
Makom,
buildings,
the Makom,
it seems to say. So he says that's what it means, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come up. It means that the components of the Beis HaMikdash are going to come up and go to Yerushalayim. Because it's called coming up. When you're going to a holier place, it's called coming up. It says that's what it means over here, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come up. Or we could say...
Though it's supposed to come down.
So that's the other question. The other question is, what do you mean it's supposed to come down? Right? There's a famous Avram Fried song, right? Bring the house down, right? Bring the house down. What's it based on? It's based on It's based on a Rashi. Rashi in multiple places. Rashi in... Rashi in Mesachas Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed, Mesachas Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph, and other Rishonim as well, Tesis in Sukkah, and Tesis in Shavuos, Tesis in Tesis in Rosh in Sukkah, the Ritva in Sukkah, Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahar. So they all bring this idea that that the Beis Hamikdash is already built. It's up in Shemayim, right?
It's
Lush.
A star.
Oh.
Hey, Aish.
What?
It's a star.
What does that mean?
I think to give you something to
a collateral.
A collateral, yeah.
Okay.
I never saw one of those. It's new.
Yeah. It's a new $100 bill.
It's
an
Aish, right?
So Rashi says, no, the Lush Rashi says, Bonui Umishuchlol. It's built and it's already, you know, decorated, everything, and it's waiting to come down from Shemayim. That's what Rashi says about the third Beis Hamikdash. And other Rishonim as well, that the Beis Hamikdash is already built and it's waiting to come down from Shemayim. So that's what Avraham Fried means, bring the house down, meaning bring the Beis Hamikdash that's up in Shemayim, bring it down. Right? So our Medrash says, no, the Beis Hamikdash is going to come up. So what does it mean the Beis Hamikdash is going to come up? We understand the Beis Hamikdash is going to be coming down, not coming up. Right? So another point is, that really it's a machlekes, how the third Beis Hamikdash is going to come about. We said Rashi and other Rishonim say that it's already built, it's up in Shemayim, and it's going to come down. Right? The Rambam, and people that go with the Rambam, the Meiri, I believe, goes with the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira goes through halachas of building the Beis Hamikdash. So what does that mean? He's going through halachas of building the Beis Hamikdash. According to Rashi, this Beis Hamikdash is already built in Shemayim, and it's going to come down. So what's the Rambam saying? Yeah, no, these are the halachas. You're not allowed to build it at night. You know, who's supposed to build it? What are you allowed to, you know, delay in order to build the Beis Hamikdash? You know, if you have to learn or build the Beis Hamikdash, which one is Deicha which? Right? The Rambam discussed all these halachas. What do you mean? You don't have to actually build it. It's going to come down from Shemayim, right? No, the Rambam, it seems, understood that no, people are destined to build it. Mankind, the Jewish people, are going to build the third Beis Hamikdash themselves. Not that it's going to come down from Shemayim, people are going to have to build it themselves. So what you have here is the Machlekes, Rambam and Rashi. Right? Is the Beis Hamikdash going to come from Shemayim, or people going to build the Beis Hamikdash? There's all kinds of different sources. I have a whole essay that I wrote about this a while ago called The Building the Third Holy Temple. I printed this in my booklet called Prophecies of the Oracle about 6 years back. I actually wrote it in 2009 originally. But actually, it was even before that, possibly. Whatever. I mean, kids, I wrote this essay a while ago. The Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perlau once he wrote a sefer called Sefer Mitzvahs L'Rav Sadia Gaon. So he asks, like, what's the source for this idea that the Beis Hamikdash is already built? And he brings different possible midrashim that might be the source for this idea. One of them happens to be is basically what we had earlier in Parag Gimel, way back when in Parag Gimel, when Hashem was, it says when Hashem was creating the world. So there are different things that Hashem already created before He created the world, and one of them is the Beis Hamikdash. Which is really, it's a Gemara in Pesachim on the Daf Nadalim, right? So Rirchum Fishel wants to say that maybe that's the source for this idea that the Beis Hamikdash is already built, because it could be that the Gemara is Lav Dafka, means that Hashem wanted to build it. But the point is, we have a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. Yeah. So there's lots of different approaches amongst the commentators to try to make Rashi and the Rambam work with each other to make it that it's not a machlekes. So they're talking about different things, but really it's all going to be the same thing. There's different mahalchim in how to do that. One of the ideas is the Sefer Mikdash David from Rav David Rappaport, who was the Shiva and the same Shiva as Rav Elchanan Wasserman. He was also killed in the war. So Rav David Rappaport wants to say that really the Beis Hamikdash itself is already built, it's in Shemayim, it's going to come down. But we have to build the Mizbeach. Right? Another point is that they want to say that Hashem already has the Beis Hamikdash up in Shemayim, but we're going to have to build the doors or something. There's going to be like one missing component that's going to have to be, you know, built by humankind. That's the Maril Diskin says that. He brings a proof. We say in davening, Hashem is going to show us this building and we'll be happy with it being fixed. When are you going to be happy when it's fixed? When you build the Beit HaMikdash, what does it mean fixed? It's not going to be fixed, it's going to be built. Why are we saying we're going to be happy when it's fixed? So that's what it means, because there's a Beit HaMikdash that's already built in Shemayim, it's going to come down, and then we're going to fix it, add a few more components that weren't there in the Beit HaMikdash in Shemayim, and then Samchina B'Sikuna, we'll fix it up, and we'll be happy with that, fixing it up. Alright, there's different approaches to... The Imam Ipanu says... The Imam Ipanu says that the idea, what's going to happen is that, what do we mean that the Beit HaMikdash is built up in Shemayim? It means that really people are going to do it, but Hashem is going to assist in some sort of miraculous way. And they point to a piece from Imam Ipanu where he says that the gates of the original Beit HaMikdash that sunk in the ground, Hashem is going to miraculously make them come up. So that's what. So our Midrash is sort of talking about the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah, I don't know how it works so much with Rashi, because Rashi says it's going to come down. But that's more or less the whole discussion over here. Okay, whatever. Fine. Let's go right there. So the Midrash brings a pasuk. The pasuk says, the gate of the inner courtyard, which faces towards the east, during the 6 days of work, its doors are closed. The Gemara says, delaysaysav, its doors, not delosav, delaysaysav. That's what Baisakadol says. Its doors are closed. And on Shabbos, the doors open on their own. Shinemar, it says in the Pasuk, it's a Pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel, Perek Mem Vav. Koy Amar Hashem, Koy Amar Hashem Elikim, Shar HaChotzer HaPnimes HaPoyne Kodim, the gate of the inner courtyard that faces eastwards, Yiyah Sagur, it'll be closed, Sheish Yisameh HaMaiseh, the 6 days of work, V'yom HaShabbos Yiposeach, V'yom HaChodesh Yiposeach. And on Shabbos it's going to open, and on Rosh Chodesh it's going to open. Right? The doors are going to open in the Beit HaMikdash on their own. This specific door, which the Pashat understanding of what door we're talking about. This is a picture of the Beit HaMikdash. Right? So this is where the Ezras Noshim, and this is where the Ezras. You can't see it so clear over here, but this is the Ezras Yisrael. And then there's a spot there with the Ezra's Kohanim, right? So between the Ezra's Yisrael and the Ezra's Kohanim is Shar Nikonor. Ezra's Yisrael is over here. Ezra's Kohanim is over here. And this is Shar Nikonor. And next to Shar Nikonor is another gate. And that's the gate that we're talking about over here. That's the idea over here. This is Shar Nikonor. And then next to it is this gate that we're talking about over here, that during the 6 days of the weekdays it's going to be closed, and on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh it'll automatically open. Yiposeach is the lashon of the pasuk. It'll open on its own, not yiftach, or you shall open it, but yiposeach, it'll open on its own. So that is just Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, b'Shabbosos v'Chodashim, on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, hayu Yisrael oimdim sham. The Jews would stand over there, and they would see the doors opening on their own, and they would know. Now, the next few lines do not appear in the Higger edition that's printed from Ksaviad. Rather, in the Higger edition, it says like this: they would know that the presence of Hashem is there. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Ba, Hashem, the God of Israel, has come. And then miyad karem mishachal ben lefanei lekayan, and they would immediately bow and prostrate themselves in front of Hashem, in front of their God. Right? That's the girsa that the Higra edition has. Now, what?
We don't have that at all.
One second. So we have a whole story over here that's not in that Ksav Yad. I guess this is some sort of thing that was added on later. What does it say? says they would Bnei Yisrael would stand there, they would see the doors opening on their own, and they would know that Shabbos has arrived, and they would sanctify the Shabbos, and then afterwards the upper realms would sanctify the Shabbos. And so too on Rish Chodesh, the Jews would stand there, and they would see the doors opening on their own, and they would know that at that moment was the moilad of the Levana, of the new month, and they would sanctify the month, and then the upper realms would sanctify the month. Because the simin, the sign of the beginning of the Moilad of the Levana, is a special thing for Klal Yisrael that we mentioned before, that Klal Yisrael is especially attached to the lunar calendar as opposed to the solar calendar, and Klal Yisrael, like the moon, will be renewed in the time of Mashiach. Right? And then it's, and then sort of ends off in the same way that the other Medrash ended off. And the other gears ended off. And then once they saw that the door would open on its own, they would know that the Shekhinah of Hashem is there. Right? And then it brings this other pasuk, which is a little bit cryptic, but we'll speak about it in a moment. And then it says that they would all bow down. Okay. So there's a lot of like funny stuff that we just mentioned over here. What happened? They would see the doors opening, let's say on Shabbos, and they would see the doors open on its own, and they would know that Shabbos has come, and then they would sanctify the Shabbos, and then the upper realms would sanctify the Shabbos. So what happened? What does it mean they would sanctify the Shabbos? Shabbos is something that you know when the sun goes down, it's Shabbos. We have to sanctify the Shabbos. Let's talk about sanctifying the Shabbos. So the Radal wants to say that...
We have time. We don't have the sun.
So the Radal wants to say that sanctifying the Shabbos either means that when the door opened would be the exact split second that Shabbos really starts. So like we don't know when Shabbos really starts, right? Between Shkia and Tzeis HaKechavim is what we call no man's land. Right? It's Ben Hashvashos. It's neither here nor there. Sometime between Shkia and Tzeis HaKechavim is the exact beginning of the night. We don't know when it is. So we're Machmer, we start Shabbos from Shkia. But technically Shabbos starts whenever the night starts. Tzeis HaKechavim is for sure already Shabbos, right? The moment after Shkia, we don't know if it's Shabbos or it's not Shabbos anymore. So the Radal wants to say that those doors would open at the split moment that's exactly, you know, astronomically exactly supposed to be Shabbos, but halachically we're already keeping Shabbos from beforehand. You have to know what that means. Mekadshim is the Shabbos. It was sanctify the Shabbos, because not sanctifying the Shabbos necessarily. The other pshat the Radal says is that what did the opening of these gates signify? It signified that now is a time that it's good. Now is a good time to do Tosefes Shabbos.
That's the gate meant?
The gates would automatically open. It was Erev Shabbos. Friday afternoon, it would say, like, now's a good time for you to do Tosefes Shabbos. So that would be, I would assume that means from, like, Plaga Mincha, when you could, that's when you could accept Shabbos early. From Plaga Mincha onwards, like, the gate would automatically open on Erev Shabbos at Plaga Mincha. That's what it would mean to be saying. And then it says that on Rosh Chodesh, you know, the gate would open, the door would automatically open, and then they would know, oh, it's Rosh Chodesh. Right? Oh, the Moilad happened, and it's Rosh Chodesh. It's like, and then it says, and they would sanctify the month. So what's happening over here? Well, they're sanctifying the month based on, you can ask the question in a few ways. First of all, we have a rule. Lo b'shamayim here. The Torah is not in the heaven. You can't rely on a miracle. You can't rely on a sign from heaven to decide halachic matters. Right? It has to be done through a certain halachic process, a certain methodology. You can't just take a miracle and say, oh, the door opened, so it must be that it's a new month. No, there's some sort of calculation, some way of figuring it out. You can't just completely rely on a miracle. The only halacha that the basis of the halacha is on a miracle, as the Ramban in Parshas Nosa says, is the halacha of Saita. When a woman drinks a thing, her stomach is going to explode. That completely relies on a miracle. Right? But every other halacha cannot rely on a miracle. It doesn't rely on Shemayim. It relies on us. It relies on Beis Din. So what's happening over here? But whoever wrote the comments in his thing, it's written in parentheses. In Rabbi Yomi Israel's commentary, someone wrote in parentheses that no, what it's talking about is that no, for sure, first Beis Din would come and there would be Mekadesh L'Chodesh. They would sanctify the month. Then, at the moment that Beis Din did it, so Hashem would show that he agrees by opening the doors to the Beis, by opening this door in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the masses who didn't yet know that Beis Din was Mekadesh it would see the sign through the doors, because they didn't yet hear that Beis Din was Mekadesh the month. That's the pshat that he wants to say. So all of these explanations to me are somewhat difficult to accept, because it comes out that according to the Medrash we're talking about two different things. We're talking about Shabbos, we're talking about Mekadesh as a Shabbos. What does it mean, Mekadesh as a Shabbos? So either it's saying, oh, it's a good time to do it, it's a Shabbos, or it means like this is the exact split second that, you know, in Shabbayim it's called Shabbos already. That's what we're talking about by Shabbos. And we're talking about, but Chodesh, we're talking about, you know, sanctifying the moon and actually creating the Metzius of the new month, right? Or at least that Beis Din agreed, that Hashem's Beis Din agrees to the earthly Beis Din's creation of the new month.
Yes, but there's only one problem.
Yeah.
When Mashiach comes, the light of the moon will be restored back to its original size. So therefore, you'll have a problem with Kiddush Levana and with sanctifying the month, because the moon won't be getting bigger and smaller like it does now. So you won't have the.
Yeah, I hear. It's a good point. I don't know what to do with that either. But my problem is that the Medrash uses the same words, Mekadesh is Shabbos, Mekadesh is a Chodesh, right? And we're sort of using it to mean two different things. By Shabbos we mean accept Shabbos early, or this is the exact split second that Shabbos starts. And by Chodesh it means sanctifying the moon, meaning really making the new month. So like we're using the same word Mekadesh to mean two different things. So I want to propose an idea that the manager is talking about something else. I want to propose the idea that the manager is talking about Kiddush in the colloquial sense, what we call Kiddush. You know, when you go home Friday night and you take a cup of wine and you make a special bracha on it, we call that Kiddush. That's what our manager is talking about over here. We know there's such a thing as Kiddush on Shabbos, right? So when it says Mekadeshim it's a Shabbos, so that's obviously, I would say it's talking about Kiddush on Shabbos.
Okay. What about have a Kiddush?
Or have a Kiddush, right? Rosh Chodesh. So we don't make Kiddush on Rosh Chodesh, right? But it's evident in the early sources, Mesachas Seifrim and other places, it's evident that there used to be a minig in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Tanaim, in the time of the Gemara, that they used to make Kiddush on Rosh Chodesh in the same way that we make Kiddush on Shabbos, with a cup, with wine, make a bracha, etc. Right? So I wanted to say that our Medrash over here, when it's talking about Mekadesh and Chodesh, it's talking about the same thing as Mekadesh and Shabbos. Mekadesh and Shabbos means making Kiddush. Mekadesh and Chodesh also means making Kiddush on a cup of wine for Rosh Chodesh. And I think we mentioned this before in Parak Zion, that the author of Pirkei D'Eliezer is related to the Minhag of Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about that over there. There was a sefer called Chiluki Dinim Bein Eretz Yisrael Bnei Maravel Bnei Bavel, and over there were different things that are brought down in that sefer that are fit with what Pirkei D'Eliezer says. It ascribes certain customs to Bnei Maravel, to the people of Eretz Yisrael, that fit with what it says in Pirkei D'Eliezer. So over here, we can say that Pirkei D'Eliezer is like an Eretz Yisrael Dikam Madrash. And it's bringing this idea of making Kiddush on Rosh Chodesh because it's reflecting that minhag that they used to do in Eretz Yisrael. I think that's the pshat what we're talking about over here. And then it works out good because then it says Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh is talking about the same type of Kiddush. But then the Medrash brought another pasuk, Yechezkel Mem Dalad Pasuk Beis. The pasuk over there says, Vayomer Eli Hashem Hashar Hazeh Sogor Yihyeh. I don't know why the Medrash is bringing this pasuk. Pasuk says, "Vayomer Eli Hashem, Hashar Hazeh Sogor Yihyeh. This gate will be closed. Lo Yipaseh, it will never open. V'ish Lo Yavoy Boy, and a man who shall never pass through it. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Ba, Sagor, and because Hashem comes to that gate is special for Hashem, and it should remain closed. The Mishnah, the Maseches Midos, the Mishnah says that pasuk Yecheskel Mandalat pasuk Beis is talking about this gate right over here. The gate between the Ulam and the Heichal, the southern gate. There's the main gate, and then there's one small gate to the north, and one small gate to the south. So the Mishnah says that this small gate to the south, between the Ulam and the Heichal, that gate is what the pasuk in Yecheskel means. It shall never be opened, right? As opposed to the gate that we were talking about before, that's next to Shar Nikanor, which is between the Ezra Nashim and the Ezra Yisrael, right? That pasuk is called the Shar HaChatzar HaPnimis. This one is called Shar HaChatzar HaChitzonis. Shar HaMikdash HaChitzon HaPoina Kodim. So this is called, I don't know why the one that's between the Ulam and the Heichal is called the Chitzon, and the one between the Ezra Nashim and the Ezra Yisrael is called the Pnimi. You would think it should be the opposite, because this is more inside the Beis HaMikdash and this is more outside. So why is this called the outside gate? This one's called the inside gate. I don't know. But the Chara is talking about two different psukim, two different things. There's a gate that's never going to be opened, and then there's this gate that we were talking about before that's opened only on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. And for some reason, both the Marzua and the Radal sort of conflate these two psukim with each other, probably because the Medrash brings this pasuk as well for some reason. I can't figure out why, and sort of is bothered by, like, how does that fit together? If it's supposed to be closed, then how does it open on Shabbos and Yom Tov? And then he says, like, maybe it means closed that no one's going to go through it, but it'll open so that people could bow in front of it. But I don't understand, because we're talking about two different things, so I'm not sure what exactly they're bothered by. Says the Medrash, v'chein l'sha'avar, v'chein l'asad l'avei. This is the way it was in the past, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, that the gate would open on its own on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. V'chein l'asad l'avei, that's how it's going to be as well in the future. Shenema t'lazin l'pasav, v'yishtachavu am ha'aretz, pesach hasharahu. The am ha'aretz, the nations of the people of the land will bow at the entrance to that gate. Right? So Yecheskel is saying that in the future as well, the gate is going to open only on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, and the rest of the time is going to be closed. The Radal wants to say that no, we're not talking about the gate opening and closing. So for sure, the gate would always remain closed, because we're talking about the second pasuk that's talking about the gate that never opens. But what we mean here, Kein L'Sha'avar, Kein L'Asalavai, is just referring to the fact that whenever there's a Gilui of the Shechina, whenever Hashem's presence reveals itself, makes itself evident, so then people bow down, Miad Kerim Rishachim L'Fdei Le'Kehen, so that was in the past and is in the future. It says it was in the past, meaning let's say in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the time of Eliyahu Navi, where the fire would come down and take things, burn up things on the Beis HaMikdash, so people would bow down and prostrate themselves in front of Hashem. So in the future it'll be the same thing, but it's not. This is not connected to what we were saying before about the gate opening and closing. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. Okay, weiter. Rabbi Yonasan Omer. Rabbi Yonasan says. Now this is going back on what we spoke about. Okay, you could say it's going back on what we spoke about last week as well. That in the future we said. Last week we said that the Bnei Yisrael is going to be renewed in the future, and the heavens and earth are going to be renewed, and all the celestial bodies are going to be renewed. Right? Comes along Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan says, "Varei ksiv." Doesn't it say in the pasuk ve'enkel chodesh tachas hashamesh that there's nothing new under the sun? So how can it be that all these things are going to be renewed? There's nothing new. There's no such thing as new things. So the Medrash says, "Omar loy." He said to him, "Who said to whom?" So the way the Marzu says it, it's Rabbi Yehuda is saying this back to Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yehuda that we mentioned before, he's the one who said this whole thing about the gate opening on Sunday, on Shabbos and on Rosh Chodesh. So he was the one who was talking previously. So he's the one who's saying this as well. The Radal says, no, it's not supposed to say Omer Loi, it's supposed to say Ella. So it's Rabbi Yonasan asking the question and answering the question himself. In the Higur edition, it has a different gear. It says, Omruloi, they said to him, these anonymous rabbis, unnamed rabbis, said back to Rabbi Yonasan, and they answered him, "Hatzadikim nischachin v'chomasehim." The righteous people, they're going to be renewed. They and their deeds are going to be renewed. But the wicked people, they're talking not going to be renewed. They're not going to have anything new. So he's what we're basically resolving it is they're saying this pasuk ein kol chodesh tachas hashamesh is supposed to be meant like mamish literally ein kol chodesh. There's no renewing or there's no new things tachas hashamesh under the sun. What does it mean under the sun? It means, as the Marzu explains, that the people who consider themselves under the sun, they consider themselves under the dominion of the sun, under the power of the sun, and they worship the sun, the Avdei Avodah Zarah, so for them there's nothing new. They're not going to be renewed in the time of Mashiach. There's nothing new. But for the tzaddikim, they will be renewed, they and their deeds will be renewed in the time of Mashiach. But now, from here to the end of the parak, the Medrash is going to be explicating a passage in Sefer Yechezkel, in which Yechezkel has a prophecy about a river that's going to come forth from the Beis Hamikdash, and it's going to spread all over. It's going to spread all over different places in Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to have sort of rejuvenating properties, like some sort of Lazarus pit. Lazarus pit. Oh,
what's a Lazarus pit?
What's a Lazarus pit? Yeah. It's some sort of mythological pit that, like, if you died and you, like, go into Lazarus pit, you come back to life. Or if you're, like, really old and frail, like, you go into the Lazarus pit and, like, you get rejuvenated. The fountain of youth type of...
Where's
type
this pit located?
What? It's mythological.
Oh, it's not a real pit.
No.
Chamei Tiberia.
We'll get to Chamei Tiberia in a few minutes. Not actually Chamei Tiberia, but... Okay, well, I'm going to read it in English because why not? So pay attention. This is Perek Mem Zayin in Sefer Yechezkel. And basically, Yechezkel has a special tour guide. He has a vision, and in his vision, he has a special tour guide, which is in a certain malach that's giving him a tour of what's going to be in the future. So when we talk about he, we're talking about this malach. Says Yechezkel, "Then he returned me to the entrance of the temple, and water was emerging from under the threshold of the temple, going eastward, for the house faced eastward. The water ran down from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he took me out through the northern gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate by the way of the gate that faced east." Right? That's the gate that we were talking about. "And there was water trickling out from the right side. As the man left to the east with a measuring rod in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and led me across the water, ankle-deep water." The pasuk says, "Mei afasim," which Rashi says, "Mei afasim is karsulim," which is an ankle, right? Ankle-deep water. We'll see that the Medrash understands mei afasim differently. "He measured another 1,000 and led me across the water, knee-deep water," right? Mei Mayim Birkayim. "He measured another 1,000 and led me across waist-deep water," Mei Mosnayim. "He measured another 1,000 and it became a stream that I could not cross, for the water had swollen into water for swimming, a stream that could not be crossed. It was too deep. He wasn't able to walk through it. You have to swim through it. You couldn't just walk through it. It was too high up. He said to me," the tour guide said to him, "Have you seen, O son of man? That's Hashem's term for Yechezkel. "He then led me and returned me to the bank of the stream. Upon my return, behold, along the bank of the stream were very many trees on one side and on the other. He said to me, 'These waters go out to the eastern region. They descend to the Arava and go to the sea, to the spreading sea, and the water will become sweetened.'" Meaning the waters that are coming out of the Beis Hamikdash, this river is going to go to three places, Rashi says. It's going to go to the Yam HaMelach, it's going to go to the Yam HaGadol, and it's going to go to the Yam Shel Tiberia. And it's going to take all three of those bodies of water, which are salt water bodies, and make them sweet.
Tiberia is not salty.
Oh, the water of Tiberia is not salty, right? The Kinneret is not a salty river, it's not a salty sea. Yeah, it's a good question.
The scientists say is underneath the salt is too heavy. If the water level lowers to where it is almost now,
the salt water will mix with the clean water, and that'll be it for the Kinneret. You can't use it anymore.
Really?
That's what I've heard. I don't know. I mean, truth to that, I heard that. And I've repeated it to other people.
Second, but no, but the question is, in ancient times, the Kinneret was a salt water body? I don't know.
Maybe when it got low enough.
I wanted to tell you that Pinky the Blaze was going to be bothered by this question and is not going to explain that we're talking about the Kinneret. We'll see. Well, let's go back. And it will be that any living thing that will swarm wherever these streams flow will live, and the fish will be exceedingly abundant. For these waters will come there, and they will become sweetened, so that they, the fish, may live wherever the stream go, wherever the stream comes. This stream of water is going to make it that like the fish are going to be like Maridik Matzliach, and they're going to be like abundant, there's going to be a lot of fish. It will happen that fishermen will stand by it, from Ein Gedi to Ein Agalim. They will be spreading places for nets. Their fish will be of as many species as the fish of the great sea, the Yamagol, the Mediterranean, exceedingly abundant. But its swamps and pools will not become sweetened, they will be set aside to provide salt. Along the stream will grow every species of food tree on its banks on one side, and the other, its leaf will not wither, and its fruit will not fail. Every month it will yield new fruit, for its waters will go forth from the sanctuary, so its fruit will be for food, and its leaves will for healing. That's the pasuk in this passage in Yechezkel. Another Medrash is going to go through it and explain this sort of what's happening over here. Rabbi Pinchas Oimer. Rabbi Pinchas says, "May habe'er asidin lales mitachas miftan abayis. May habe'er, the waters of the well of Miriam, are destined to come out from underneath the threshold of the Beis Hamikdash. V'noivin, and they will flow, or they will spring. Umafrin, and they will be multiplied. V'yotzin, and they'll come out. V'nasin l'shnei mosan necholim, and they're going to spread out into 12 rivers." Into 12 little rivers, Kenegad Shemasar Shvatim, corresponding to the 12 tribes of Bnei Israel. Shemar says in the pasuk, "Vayishivenu al pesach abayis v'hinei mayim yotzim mitachas miftan abayis." The Gomer, "Hayimodes minegav lamizbeach." So there's going to be basically what we're going to have is we're going to have in each of the four directions there's going to be three rivers to come out with 12 rivers that are coming out from the Beis Hamikdash. It's going to splinter off into. This one river is going to have 12 tributaries. Shloisha kapei adorim lavar behem adar shekayim. Three rivers going towards the south that you can pass them until you're shaik, which your shaik, it's a big controversy in the contemporary halacha what's called a shaik, but basically they say it's like the mid calf. Ushloisha kapei abarav lavar behem adar birkayim. And three rivers in the west side that you can go up to your knees. The man came with a measuring stick. He measured 1,000 cubits. And he passed me through the waters of the knees, water that goes up to your knees. And three rivers to the north side. That you can pass through them up to your waist. Shneimar, it says the pasuk Vayomer Elaf Ayavreinu Meimosayim. The Malach measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters that were waters of the waist, waters that you can go up to your waist. Ushleisha klapei Amizrach Lavar Behemarat Savor, and three rivers in the east side, which you can go to those rivers up to your neck. Shneimar, it says the pasuk Vayomer Elaf Ba'amav Vayavinu Ba'mayim Meofsim Shatzavar Ofes Laguf. He brought me to May Ofsim, which when we read the Pesukim in Yechezkel, we translated as to your ankle. That's what Rashi says over there, and that's what the Targum says. But the Blazer says, Ofsim is not your ankle, rather it's your neck. Shat Savar Ofes Laguf, because your neck is the Ofes of your body. Ofes means the edge, or like the terminal. Like Ki Ofes Kosef, we had in last week's parasha. Yosef said that the people complained to Yosef, we don't have any money left. We came to the edge of the money. We don't have, there's nothing left. Right? Umizgoyin lamala me'anachal. And then, you know, as the river goes farther away from the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes more and more powerful, I guess more and more deep. Ad shelo yochol odom lavar. until a person can no longer cross it. Kigo hamayim mei shachu, because the waters became too strong and you can't even swim past it. It's like the waters are very, very wild, I guess. Umehem nimshachim yardim el arava. From there, the rivers go to a place called Arava. Shenema v'yardu el arava. They go to the Arava. The Radal brings from the Yalkut Shemayni that the girsa is, what does it mean? Arava el arvais yerechay, to the plain of yerechay, right? And that mean that's a reference to the Yam HaMelech, which is next to Yerechay. Yericho is next to the Yam HaMelech, right? If you go to the Dead Sea, is right next to Jericho. As we mentioned when we're reading the Psukim, so Rashi says that it's going to go to three places. This river from the Beit HaMikdash is going to go to three salt water bodies and sweeten the waters, right? The Dead Sea, Mediterranean Sea, and the Kinneret. That's what Rashi says. And as we asked, the Kinneret is not really a salt water body, but the source that Rashi is coming from is interpreting this pasuk of Arava is Yam Shel Tiveria. That's what it's coming from. Tesefta Mesach Shkolim, Tesefta in Sukkah in Yerushalmi in Shkolim says that Arava is Yam Shel Tiveria, the Sea of Tiberias, right? And our Medrash is interpreting Arava as Jericho, meaning Yam HaMelech. So I understand, like I alluded to before, that Pirkei de Blaz is bothered by Rabbi Pomerantz's question. Right? How can you say that it's talking about the Kinneret? The Kinneret is a fresh water, fresh body of water. The water is fresh, it's not salty. So we need the river to come and sweeten the water. Elamai, it's not talking about the Kinneret, it's talking about, you know, just the Yam HaMelech. So in the future, the Yam HaMelech is going to become, this river is going to reach the Yam HaMelech. And we're going to see it's going to make it sweetened, it's going to make it no longer salty. V'chol, maybe this is a reference to the distillation technology that they have over here in Eretz Yisrael that they don't have elsewhere. I'm sorry, if you want to interpret it sort of not allegorically but like in a more to translated into contemporary technological terms.
Come out of this mikdash itself.
Yeah, I'm saying it doesn't fit exactly. I'm just saying, like, we see such a concept that in Yemais HaMashiach, we're now like approaching Yemais HaMashiach, and we have the ability to take salt water and make it no longer salt water. V'chol sadeh v'kerem she'enan oisin peres, any field or vineyard which wasn't able to produce to yield fruit, mashkin oisin ba'isim amayim v'hem oisin peres. You can irrigate it with these waters that are coming from the river that's coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, and it will yield fruit.
You ready to go fishing by the Yam HaMelech tomorrow?
Yeah, it says the pasuk. Asher Yishrites, any nefesh chaya, there will be Yishrites. El kol asher yovei sham necholim yichya. It'll come alive. It'll rejuvenate those fruit, those trees, or those vines, or whatever, and allow them to give off fruit. The Radal adds the end of that pasuk. That's where I was reading from. What's it called? V'nichnasin el Yam HaMelech, and these waters would reach the Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea. U'machasin Yisrael, it would cover the Yam HaMelech. Not sure what that means. Shneur, it says the pasuk. V'yem e'ela ha'mayim ha'ela yoytzim el ha'galila ha'kadmoyna. But what?
Galila Kadmona.
Right, you would have interpreted that as talking about the Kinneret, Galila Kadmona, but the Medrash is interpreting it as the Yam HaMelech, possibly again because it's bothered by what you asked on Rashi over there. Vohim is davgin kol min dogim el hayama gadol, and all the types of fish. I know what this means. All the types of fish. This is what the Radal says. The Radal says that all the types of fish that you find in the Yam HaGadol in the Mediterranean Sea, which is a wide variety of fish, so you're also going to find those types of fish in this river. Shenemar says it's possible. Lemina tia degosam kidgas Yam HaGadol rabba ma'id. The different species that of fish that it's going to be that are going to be in this river are going to be like the amount of species of fish that are in the Yam HaGadol. V'hem nimtokim, and they will make the waters sweet. V'oilin v'nachal ad Yerushalayim, and they will come up. V'hem nimtokim, the fish will be sweet. And the fish are going to start coming up in these rivers all the way to Yerushalayim. And by Yerushalayim, they'll be caught in their traps. Basically, what it's saying is that there's going to be an abundance of fish you'll be able to catch coming from these rivers on the, up going. I'm trying to figure out which way the stream is going. It's going towards Yerushalayim or from Yerushalayim. I'm not sure. It's not clear exactly which way it's going to go. But the point is that the fish are going to be very successful, and the salt and the salt waters will no longer be salt. They're going to be fixed. They're going to be sweetened waters. Mishtach l'charam means it's going to be spread out in captivity. And along the bank of this river would grow all types of fruit-bearing trees. On the river, along the river, it'll come up on its side all these different things. And there's a Gemara in the end of Masechta Ksubos that says that a seed in Kol Ilan Yisrak she'Be'eretz Yisrael Lita in Paris. In the time of Mashiach, all the non-fruit-bearing trees in Eretz Yisrael, they are destined to actually become able to bear fruit. And that's what it means over here in the Medrash. That all the trees that couldn't give off fruit, they're going to be able to give off fruit. And every month it'll be giving off blossoming new fruits. It'll be giving off new things each month. And the Medrash says not only that, not just every month, but elin echalin ve'elo elin. As you're taking off a fruit to eat from it, new fruits are going to be sprouting out. Shneema, it says in the pasuk, me'ema v'na mikdash hema yaitzim ve'haya piri alamachal ve'alei l'srufa. V'chol adam shuchayla, any person who is sick, reiches po'is and amayim v'misrape, he can bathe in those waters and he'll be healed. Shneema, el kol asher yovei sham nachalayim, he'll become healed. Whoever goes in those rivers will be healed. V'chol adam sheish bei maka, any person who has a wound. Oh, the pasuk says nun beis reiches po'is and amayim el kol asher yovei sham nachalayim. And it's going to heal you. Right. Any person who has a wound, he can take from the leaves of these trees next to the river and he'll be healed. Its fruit will be for eating. And its leaves will be for healing. Says the Medrash, its fruit will be for food. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Lekeya," he says, "Letrufa mitzitzin olei usraf mizayne." As for healing, what you'd be able to do is to suck on its leaves and on its sap, and that would have certain healing properties. So, Be'ezer Hashem, when Mashiach comes, we're going to see all these supernatural things that are going to happen with these trees and this river coming out from Shemayim, coming out from the, sorry, not from Shemayim, from the Beis HaMikdash. And here also in Shemnizke, V'nichye, V'nira, be able to see all these things speedily and in our days. Amen.